Hello, and welcome to A Marvelous Lunch Break. On today's show, it's the end of season three, and as Sam Raimi said when he was asked to do Spider-Man 4, this has gone on too long, the third one was a bit shit, and you'll have to pay me more than you'd like to do a fourth one. Don't fear. This is the age of the superhero, and reboots are a completely rational way to excuse another spin of the wheel. Anyway, we'll be discussing all of the Spider-Man movies and more, but first, joining me today as always is Marvelous Self, Anna Harrison. How are you?
Hi, Dan. I can't believe it's over. I mean, I know we were robbed of a few movies that we were going to be doing, but yeah, I feel like this one's gone by surprisingly quickly, given that time has no concept anymore. These have been, you know, nice, solid points in my life lately.
Great. And joining us, as always, it's the wonderful Agent Martin Carter. How are you?
Did you not have time to think of a quip?
It's the season finale. We're in good spirits here.
Is that because you want me back for season four?
It's because I don't have to watch another shit Spider-Man movie for a week, 3 months.
Oh, it's the end of the season. What a strange time.
I'm so excited. Well, we've got a lot coming up today. But first, if you are a new listener, I mean, what a time to join us. The end of season three. So feel free to go back to the start of season three and listen to this all again. But if you want to keep listening, we've got some great stuff in today's episode. However, there will be spoilers, probably for every Spider-Man movie, every Marvel movie, every X-Men movie. Basically, if you want anything spoiled, probably go back to the beginning and watch along with us. But remember to review us and subscribe us if you're happy with what you hear. And you can also follow us on our Instagram account. Anna, what's the details?
A Marvelous Lunch Break.
Great. So here's what's coming up today. We're going to have a nice little chat about Spider-Man movies, you know, everything from the original Spider-Man movies all the way to Homecoming, Far From Home, and Into the Spider-Verse. We're also going to do some one-minute roundups, but this time the roles are reversed as Anna is the one timing Martin and myself. We've got rankings, right? We've got the Spider-Man movie rankings. We've got the Marvel train scene rankings. And we've also got a quiz, which listeners can pretty much join in from home. So make sure you stay tuned for all of that. But first, we're gonna do something that we usually save till a little later. But even though it's the season wrap up, let's kick off with the cast, right? Because we've got a great cast here. We've got. Are you ready for cheers and boos? Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man. Yeah. Not
starting. I'm giving him a solid golf clap. A very solid, respectable golf clap.
We've got Andrew Garfield, the Spider-Man.
Yay!
Yeah.
Okay, this is not a great start. We've got Tom Holland, the Spider-Man.
Yay!
Really, that's a bit better. Okay, we've got Shameik Moore, as Spider-Man.
Yay!
Oh my god, are you going to go through all of the Spider-Man?
And finally, we've got Tom Hardy as Venom.
Yeah.
Oh my god. That like peaked for a brief moment in the middle and that was it. I think that's, you know, that's a great little lineup of you know, sort of, I didn't go with all of the Spider-Men and Into the Spider-Verse. I just thought I'd go for the main title character of each one. But what a decade, nearly two decades, nearly 20 years of Spider-Man on the big screen. What are your initial thoughts from this season? How do you feel like now we're at the end of it?
Well, I'm really glad we did this season, even if there were moments in the middle of certain films where I was regretting our choice somewhat. But I think like all the way back in the first episode, I said, the first Spider-Man movie, the first and second Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire, they were such a big deal when they came out. Like, that was really, I mean, I'd really enjoyed, like, the X-Men movies, but, like, Spider-Man was my first intro really into that Marvel superhero universe. I had always been more into kind of, like, fringe comics. I'd never really delved in sort of the big names. I was aware of Spider-Man, you know, Batman, Superman, those names. But man, I can just remember what a phenomenon those movies were when they first came out. And it's really, really easy for me to kind of tap into the memory of, like, I was properly obsessed. I think, what was I? I was maybe like a sophomore, maybe a junior in high school. And like, I adored those movies. I had the soundtrack. I thought Tobey Maguire was super cute. I mean, I've grown up a lot since then, obviously. But it was, and you know, not having seen the Garfield movies, like to get to delve into those. And now just getting to revel in the era of Marvel that we are now with Tom Holland. And being really excited about what superhero movies are becoming with Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah, I think this was, of all the seasons we've done, I think this was a real look at how superhero movies have changed and developed over the last almost, you know, 20 years. So yeah, very glad we did it.
I think I probably feel the same. I think as I have also that kind of nostalgia for the first and the second Spider-Man films. I think it is a bit of a shame, and I'm very thankful that, like, now we get to see, like, Spider-Man, like, hit his stride with both Tom Holland and with Into the Spider-Verse. We're finally getting the treatment of Spider-Man that is thrilling and deserving and excellent. I think that the Spider-Man films are quite lucky that there aren't as many as perhaps there have been of X-Men films. I think if there'd have been a trilogy, and then, what, a quadrilogy? I don't know what the fourth, but you know, the later four, First Class, Days of Future Past, Armageddon, what is it called?
Apocalypse.
And Dark Phoenix, you know, if there'd been that many Spider-Man films to get through, I would have struggled, I think. So I think the fact that there was only two Andrew Garfield, there's only two Tom Holland, I think that helped me this season kind of keep my interest in it. Whereas I think if there'd have been three trilogies to get through, I'd have been a bit like, oof, it's a bit much. So I think Spider-Man has fared better than X-Men for me on the rewatch.
Mm. Well, speaking of things that are difficult to get through, we will get into a little bit more Spider-Man chat in a bit. But first, something we always do at the start of the episode is ask Anna to review or summarize the movie in, well, under a minute, if obviously you can do it, which this season's not been the most efficient season for you, unfortunately. But it's maybe time for me and Martin to eat our words as we try and achieve some of your most daring feats throughout this season. I'm going to, you know, as the one deciding this, I'm going to let Martin go first.
What film are you doing, Dan?
I believe I'm doing Spider-Man. but as I've not practiced it at all, I can't tell you. Oh, Spider-Man 3. There we go. No surprise,
okay.
Let's do it in, well, I guess there's not really chronological order then, is there? Let's do it in release order then. I'll go first.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
Let's not break any sort of continuity.
Andre, you do the timing.
Yeah, I'm all over this timer. I've got it locked and loaded. So, Dan, I think I sent you what my time was for this one.
Yeah, your time for this one was 54 seconds.
Ooh. Yeah. So that's your time to beat Dan.
Okay, I've got it open in front of me. I haven't practiced it.
Are you in?
Okay.
Okay. In 3, 2, 1, go.
Peter Parker is on top, living life. His red-haired lady in NYC's adoration. Villain intro time. Harry Gobby 2.0 gets a brutal clothesline to the face. Short-term memory loss. Sinister Black Guru has crash-landed on Earth. And maybe murderer Flint Marco falls a flower of a particle experiment with terrible health and safety policies turning him to a sentient sand. Peter is neglecting MJ. Too busy to save his classmate. An office supply model Gwen Stacy for a million-foot drop. And at the Celebrate Spidey Carnival, Peter commits the ultimate betrayal and lays upside down one-on-one. After a disastrous proposal attempt, Pete finds out that Float killed Uncle Ben, and after some black goof spiding pretty much murders him, conflicted MJ sends Harry back into the crazy house of his imaginary daddy, who then forces MJ to break up with Pete, and it's freaking emo montage time, finger guns, singing dance moves, cookies. After burning Harry's face off, Peter finally gets a clue and fights off the goo, jumps off the ship, Ben Bloody. He teams up with not dead Flint to take down Spider-Man and surprise, kidnap MJ. After knockoff Alfred finally packs up with some daddy killed himself info, Harry and Spidey team up to take down the terrible two somebody, cost Harry his life, and Peter and MJ reconcile in the jazz clue of shame. We close out on McGuire Spider-Man years. Stop.
Ooh. Okay. Wow. Okay. for not having practiced that at all, I'm pretty impressed. I don't think I understood a lot of what was being said, but that was some good speed. How do you think you did?
Well, I've definitely fumbled some words there. There was some words that I think weren't, I wasn't expecting. But I think probably maybe 56 seconds.
Okay, your time was 55.43.
Oh, yes. Under a minute is all I'm asking for.
That's all we want.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
And interesting that we both have got Venom themed 60 seconds.
Because you said Black Panther. I was worried that halfway through that I'd been reading out the wrong one.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. How are you feeling, Martin?
Well, I've practiced this, but watching Dan do it so off the cuff, I'm a bit worried, but we'll see.
Yeah. And so my time for this one, did I send you time?
Yeah, 53.
53. Okay.
Jeez. Some difficult ones.
Well, no. I think these are easier because the scripts are quite short.
Mm. They are quite short. Yeah. I think I made a point to pick ones that I succeeded in as well. So. Right. Okay. I'm going to count you in. Ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go.
Spaceship crash and we get a bunch of dead astronauts and an escaped black goo monster. In San Francisco, Eddie Brock is an established as a mumbly agitated journalist who detonates his life by taking on super evil Elon Musk in 6 months of losing and finds him scrambling for money while evil cop infects homeless test subjects with alien goo and super gross deadly results. After an ill-advised trip to the evil lab, Eddie picks up a parasitic passenger after the garbage and live lobster eating. He and his squishy companion Venom evade evil cop goons and set up a straight-up drone strike on the populated streets of San Francisco as Eddie's increasingly pale and sweaty ex-fiancée Annie and boyfriend Dan Lander helping a hand, resulting in symbiotic separation, doggy position, and a kidnapped Eddie. Luckily, Annie's Lady Villain saves Eddie's ass in the wayward goo, aka Wright, makes his way across the world and got his hooks into super evil Elon Musk and plans to bring all the other goos to Earth in a full-on alien takeover. Thankfully, Venom has a change of heart and decides to take on Wright in a gooey CGI final battle. After flaming victory, things are looking up for Eddie. He's flirting with Dan Scales back on the media circuit and has a sneaky internal psychic with a hunger for street dog. Stop!
Just under the wire. So
that was so hard. Could you tell that I'd practice super evil Elon Musk?
Yes,
God.
I would give you extra points for the fact that you were more articulate and understandable.
Can you shave off 5 seconds as a prize?
I cannot, but you have my respect.
Thank you.
So, your time, do you want to guess it?
Like 59 seconds.
It was 59.48.
Oh.
So, you were right on the cusp there, my friend.
Oh.
Well done. Well done, you guys.
Well done, Dan.
Round of applause.
Well, well done, Anna, for doing this all season, because I cannot be bothered to do that every week. Writing them as well. You know, that's some major script writing. Cool. Well, now we've determined the ultimate winner. Thank you very much for tuning in. Have a wonderful evening. So, Spider-Man. It's been a crazy season, and we've got these three Spider-Men lined up against each other in the live-action ones. Then we've got a whole host of animated Spider-People. And then we've got Tom Hardy sort of sitting there all by himself as Venom. Obviously, you know, some of these aren't going to go into the future in terms of the Andrew Garfield and the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. But the other three franchises there are pretty much still open for development. So, you know, the future and beyond, what are your big hopes for the future of spider people worldwide?
It's tricky. So, I mean, I think Marvel's made a smart move with Spider-Man Far From Home. The blip sort of established that, you know, they say that they had to repeat one of their years, so they've effectively bought some more time for Peter in high school, and I'm really glad we're getting a little bit longer of him at that phase of his life. But I am really curious to see how they make the transition for the Tom Holland Spider-Mans into the kind of quote-unquote real world, like out of high school, like kind of what comes next for Peter. And sort of given the fact that they're continuing this Tom Hardy Venom franchise, I mean, we were supposed to get the second one this year. It's obviously not happening anymore. I mean, there's going to come a point where those two meet up, surely. And so I would really like to see sort of smarter offshoots of Spider-Man. There's so much rich material there. I mean, you know, if they're going to be doing a Sinister Six, which they seem to be building towards, if Venom's going to become like a bigger part of this universe, the Venom movie felt like such a step backwards for them that I'm really hoping we're going to see the Spider-Man universe kind of grow and develop the way our Marvel Cinematic Universe has. Because I think there's just such great material to work with there. So I'm really hopeful. I'm really hopeful. They've got a lot to work with. And given everything they've done so right with the Tom Holland Spider-Man so far, I think we could be in for a few really exciting years with this character.
Amon, what about you? What's your big hopes and dreams?
I would really love to see Tom Holland face one of the like classic villains that we had in the first two iterations of Spider-Man. I'd love to see him take on almost even more of a comic book villain. I think they've deliberately sidestepped people like Green Goblin and Rhino and Electro, you know, all those kind of like ones that you think of when you think of Spider-Man's kind of the foes. I'd really like to see that. I'm really interested also to see what they do with Into the Spider-Verse 2, not only because I love that film so much, but also where do you go after something that was so out of the box? And like, do you just add more spider people in there? Do you strip it back down? Do you go, you know, does Miles fall through dimensions and experience other people's universes?
I don't know. I think that's got to be it. He's got to go somewhere else now, surely.
Yeah.
Well, there's just so many like unknowns with that particular. Like, I could probably have a good stab at what I think Tom Holland's third film will be, and probably have a good stab at what I think Venom 2 will be. But Into the Spider-Verse 2, I think just there is no way you can predict what's going to happen, and that's really exciting. Yeah. In the same way that, you know, you couldn't predict what was going to happen in Endgame, because it was just there was too many possibilities with that story. And that's what's really exciting, I think.
Give us a little prediction for Tom Holland's third Spider-Man movie then, because as far as the MCU is at the minute, everything's pretty hush-hush in terms of the sort of unannounced or you know, unspecified movies. So give us your take on Spider-Man 3.
I think it'll probably be the same scale, so probably not like, you know, too big. I think it'll probably have a lot of comedy, and I think it will probably center more around New York, him slightly a bit more adult, maybe some sort of threat to revealing who he is, perhaps.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that on the post credits of the second one?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Jesus, I completely forgot about that. Yeah, of course, we had J. Jonah Jameson really revealing, because of Mysterio's thing, revealing Peter's identity. So yeah, they've totally got to deal with that in the next movie, however they do.
And we've got, you know, there was a reveal as well that it was, you know, J.K. Simmons back as what?
Yes.
J. Jonah Jameson. Which is
amazing.
I was reading earlier, no spoilers here, but I was reading when I was designing the quiz, which will be coming up shortly. But apparently they did very much try to get a J. Jonah Jameson cast for Amazing Spider-Man. And from what I've read, couldn't ever settle on someone that they thought would be an improvement or, a variant on J.K. Simmons. And then when Marvel came to cast it for this one, they just sort of went with a "what if it ain't broke, don't fix it" sort of method, which I think is bold. But you know, screw it, he's perfect. It's like he's like born to play that role.
A very small sidelined role.
Well, I hope it's a major one. I mean, the storyline with, you know, the amount of storylines with J. Jonah Jameson in the comics that are more than just guy who's in charge of the paper is great. You know, I think it'd be interesting if you see him as like the mayor, you know, like more of a like the mayorship sort of roles that you see him within the comic book, where he's really got like power to try and capture, take down, prevent Spider-Man from being a nuisance. I think that'd be really interesting. At the minute, in Spider-Man comics, J. Jonah Jameson runs like a morning chat show on the radio, and he's like the equivalent of like Piers Morgan at the minute. But he loves Spider-Man, so that's having like a whole other like interesting angle on their relationship. But throughout his love of Spider-Man, he keeps getting in the way just as much. So there's such a history of things that they can go with J. Jonah Jameson. That's not just, you know, man in a newsroom like office, which I think that could be really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I think they've been really smart so far with how they've kind of reimagined a lot of the roles. I think, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they came up with something really kind of clever and new for Jonah to
do. He's a Skrull.
Is he a Skrull? Don't know. Yeah.
Great. So that's the future of Spider-Man. What about the future of Spider-Man? Took you a minute. Into the Spider-Verse. When do you want to see that one head next?
I definitely want to go to like other dimensions. I thought the introduction of Miguel from Spider-Man 2099 was a really interesting idea, like kind of bringing a real future element. Like, that's something that, you know, Marvel comic book movies, they've played around quite a bit with time. You've got, you know, the Days of Future Past type thing, but I would really like to see like a proper future vision, not necessarily like an apocalyptic or like dystopian future vision for where superheroes are and what they're doing, how they're integrating into society. But yeah, I think that would be really cool. Like, what does the world look like 100 years from now, or less than 100 years from now, to see how we're coping with a new reality of like super people, superheroes. I think that would be neat, really neat.
I don't care what happens in that film. I'm just excited to sit down and watch it. They can do whatever they want.
I mean, I'd like to see more of the Spider women. There are some amazing characters in Spider-Man tradition, like Silk, like Red Spider. There's so many amazing like female Spider people in the other Earths, other dimensions. I'd love to see more of them. You know, I want Spider-Gwen back, definitely, but there are some really strong, really, really interesting female characters in the various Spider-Verses, which I'd love to see them get more screen time.
And female villains as well. Like, I think one of the big misses from every single Spider-Man movie is like Black Cat as one of his biggest villains. There's just totally nowhere to be seen.
She was a
secretary, you know, in Amazing Spider-Man 2. But I just think that's like a huge omission from all of these movies. Mm-hmm. You know, you've ticked off his major sort of players. Probably the only ones that haven't been ticked off in a significant way are Wilson Fisk, which I say, yeah, okay, he was quite forefront in Into the Spider-Verse, but across what, like, you know, 3, 4, 5, you know, like 7 or 8 live action movies, we've not had barely a hint of him. And then I think the other one that's missing is Black Cat. Everyone else has been ticked off. You've had the Lizard, you've had Otto, you've had you know, Green Goblin more times than you can deal with. But it's just crazy that Black Cat mission seems to be so glaring. We'll see what Spider-Man 3 brings and what Into the Spider-Verse brings. And then there's the rumors that somehow Venom and Spider-Man could become bundled together somehow. Obviously, we know the future of Venom looks like it's heading in the Carnage direction. But could we be talking about a future where Woody Harrelson is part of the MCU as a crazy ginger-haired Cletus Cassidy?
Oh God, what was that hair? I totally forgot about that hair. That wig is so funny. I mean, Carnage is such a big part of the Spider, like the Spider universe, Spider-Man universe as well. And if you get, like, I think Woody Harrelson's a great casting. You know, I can see him playing that real sort of psycho, loves to destroy, just watch the world burn, crazy, crazy guy. I think it'd be a shame not to sort of use him and use him well across, like, this world they're building. And we've also got, like, the total unknown, which is Morbius, coming out as well, which I have no idea what to expect from that movie. Like, it seems very strange, vampire, whatever, but he very much exists in the Spider-Man universe as well. Like, he's a well-known character. So I don't know if there's something there as well that's going to be woven in somehow. So it feels like they're doing something. Like, it seems, in this age of, like, kind of connected universes and everything, it seems unlikely that there isn't, if not an quote-unquote end game in mind, there's some sort of, like, story being woven here, or at the very least, they've made it so that, like, there can be at least references and homages to nod to the audience that, yes, we are all part of one universe here. So I'm curious to see it, how they do that, and if they do that well. It's going to be interesting to see.
I think there must have been a point. They must have had a conversation, if it's all feasible, where, like a Kevin Feige sat in a room with whoever his equivalent is at Sony and said, if there's even a chance of this becoming part of the MCU, here's the things that you do and don't do. Like, don't do all of this over here and reference all of this. You know, essentially create the Venom movie in a bubble that is easy to say, yeah, okay, it was part of the MCU. And it kind of feels like they've done that. You know, it kind of feels like it was something happening in isolation, but they could easily say, oh yeah, that was taking place over there. But if they've got to do that with the second movie as well. So it's going to be interesting if, like, I mean, a spatial blowing up as it sets off isn't, like, the most outlandish hallmark event of a society that you could easily say, oh, how have we never known about that in the MCU? But if they do say something that is equivalent to, you know, Attack on New York level, then it's going to be really difficult, I think, for them to put those stories together.
Yeah.
Exciting, though.
Exciting. that's one word for it. unfortunately, though, our friends Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield look to be, you know, set for no more feature adventures in the on the big screen. What do you think about their? How do you think they'll go down in history in comparison to not just other spider people, but other superheroes?
I mean, I have a bit of a soft spot for Tobey Maguire still. It's a shame that his trilogy ended the way it did. You might feel differently, Dan, but I don't think it was necessarily a high note to close out his Spider-Man years on. And, you know, now with the way, particularly, like, kind of with hindsight, looking at the ways they sort of handled their female characters, diversity, things like that, it's not a sterling example, really. But I do think it really paved the way for, you know, getting those kind of superhero movies, like, in the mainstream. Like, okay, fine, it probably would have happened eventually, but I think Tobey will always be remembered as the original Spider-Man. Like, he kind of gets his due for that. I think Tom Holland has totally come to outshine him, but yeah, I think I'll always remember him fondly, definitely. It's harder for me to connect to Garfield. I'm glad I watched the movies. I don't have, like, many terrible things to say about his performance, but I don't know. I find those movies, like, highly forgettable. I think it was a good attempt. I'm glad we moved swiftly on.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I also think there's going to come a point where I think Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man's probably already been forgotten, but I think there will get to a point as people get older where Tom Holland's really the only iteration of Spider-Man that people have seen.
Yeah.
I think for our age group, people remember Tobey Maguire quite fondly, but I think the younger MCU fans who are coming up and have grown up with the MCU and the whole, you know, past 24, 25 films, Tom Holland will be their Tobey Maguire, I think, and Tobey Maguire just will just look like a really outdated, cheesy, in the same way that like the old Spider-Man, the old Batman films, everyone kind of rolls their eyes at, you know, Mr. Freeze and
yeah, I think you're right. And actually, when you think about it, at the end of the day, like, Tom Holland has worn the suit more than any of them have. Like, he's done what, 5 Spider-Mans now, had 5 Spider-Man appearances, and that well outweighs both Garfield and Maguire's appearances. So yeah, how about you, Dan? How do you think of them?
Well, I was just going to say, we'll get onto how you rank these movies in a little bit. And I tell you what, I've had foresight of these rankings, and I think there's going to be some disputes. We'll see. They'll come up later in the episode. Before we jump into a quiz, though, let's have our first ranking of the evening, which is the Choo Choo It's Another Marvel Train Scene.
Yay!
So this isn't necessarily a ranking. I've not asked you to rank these all out of 10. But what I have asked you to do is pick your top 3 Marvel train scenes. And, you know, for no one who's picked up on this thread throughout the season, I don't know how you've missed it, but, I mean, Marvel movies are packed full of train scenes. It's crazy. There's, like, trains are pretty much the only method of transport that exists in superhero movies. And you know, they have a great effect in some movies and they make an absolute pig's ear of them in others. So I'm gonna kick off with you guys. Martin, what are your top 3 Marvel train scenes?
Choo choo, it's my Marvel train scenes. So
I'm stopping so at was, platform number 3.
So I was really tempted to choose the Virgin train sponsorship from Days of Future Past.
Okay. Oh my god.
So I thought what I would do is I've picked one per season that we've done. So I've got one from MCU, one from XCU, and one from Spider.
Okay.
So my one from MCU is Age of Ultron. Just because it was, I remember a listener wrote in with that one. And we were all like, oh my god, as if we forgot that. And I rewatched it recently, and it's such a cool scene because you've got Captain America going head to head with Ultron, and you know, like, that's a really intense fight. You've got Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver using their powers for good for the first time. But then interspersed in between all that, you've got Black Widow trying to get Vision onto Hawkeye's plane, and she gets kidnapped by Ultron, and just all those things together I just think are really cool. XCU, I've gone for Magneto coming onto the train to kidnap, there's a kidnap theme, Rogue, and he uses his powers against Wolverine for the first time, and that's always stuck with me, that you realise that Magneto's got this really big advantage against one of the strongest X-Men, and I remember that from like being really young, being like, that is cool. And then for Spider-Verse, no kidnapping involved, you'd be pleased to know. bit of a, not necessarily a scene, but I think just the impact it had. I've gone for Far From Home, where after Mysterio has been like sending him through this like trippy, all over the place thing, and then he gets hit by the train. I just think the shock and impact of that particular moment is a use of a train we have not seen before and we'll probably not see again. So they are my top 3.
Wow. Nice. Anna, what are yours?
Choo-choo. Right. It's yeah, Anna's choo-choo. Train scenes.
In third so pass.
I'm gonna do a quick swap because Martin's taken one of mine, but I was really teetering between the two of these anyway. So I had the Far From Home one as well because I thought that was like, no pun intended, but the impact of that scene is incredible and so unexpected. And I've just realized I've done a bit of a, no, that's not really true. I thought I had done a three season arc, but I haven't. So in place of my Far From Home, my third point is the Spider-Man 2, Tobey Maguire stopping the train. I mean,
you thief.
You know, it's just such, like, I think when you think like train scenes in superhero movies, this one must jump to a lot of people's minds. Like his crazy face, like his weird face. You know, but at the same time, like, you know, just like giving it his all, like I'm holding back the train. And you know, it culminated in him in his like his passing out, everyone like picking him up and carrying him through. It's such a cheesy scene in so many ways. But it's really nice. I think it's one of the quintessential train scenes. And then my in number two spot, I've got the train scene from Captain America: The First Avenger. This is the one where Bucky falls to his quote unquote death. But I mean, there's a really good battle scene in the train beforehand when it's like Cap up against like that weirdly suited up like soldier guy with like the plasma blast and everything, and they're all like, you know, it's this action.
He uses
scene,
the same cannon sound as Iron Man, right? It's the same.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah. So like that was like the kind of start of that tech and everything. But then it culminating in this heartbreaking moment of Bucky falling from the train, and you know, Captain America's heart just getting, you know, wrenched out of his body with his best friend falling into that wintry crevasse. So that's my number two spot. Now my number one, I know Martin's not gonna appreciate this, but my number one train scene is Ant-Man.
I knew you were gonna pick Ant-Man. And I bet it's on Dan's list as well.
But it's so good. I think it's just like such a subversion of expectation when you've got like, you know, this big battle happening with, you know, Yellow Jacket, like just doing his lasers, and Ant-Man's like jumping around, the train's rushing around the track, and then the train hits Yellow Jacket and it pulls back. You've just got the Thomas the Tank Engine Thomas the Tank Engine just falling off its track. And I remember seeing that scene in cinemas and got a big laugh in the audience. I was cracking up. Yeah, that is my number one train scene.
Well, you've left me short of options. I mean, Anna, Spider-Man 2 and Ant-Man were up there for me. I'll give you the amended list very quickly then. So I think some standout ones for me that are not being mentioned, very contentious as to whether it's a train scene or not. But in Avengers Infinity War, the moment in the train station where the train flies past and Captain America stood there and his theme starts playing is like, pow. You know, that's one of those absolute incredible moments in the whole of the MCU. So what I've got as the Thanos' children train scene is a huge one for me. And that was on my list, even if you had said, you know, that isn't something that's just been drafted in at the last minute. other ones that I got there, I've got then in the backup slot, I had the Into the Spider-Verse is full of train scenes. Totally. But I'm just to pin it down to one. I like the bit where there's Peter B. Parker and Miles Morales swinging from the train and being dragged through the streets as they're both sort of figuring out what the hell's going on to them. I really like that. I thought that was quite amusing. And then, God, the final one that I'm going to put in there, I feel obliged to put an X-Men one in now. So if I'm going to have to put an X-Men one in, then it's got to be X-Men. The Dark Phoenix, where Magneto sort of gets on the train, he has the huge fight scene and the train's getting all messed about. But you know, I think probably the X-Men ones aren't that strong. We'll move on to a quiz in a few moments' time. But just a short interlude, maybe a musical interlude. We'll see.
Hi there, Dan here. I know I said a short musical interlude, but there's also a slight audio interlude. Actually, at this point of the recording, I fumbled the recording slightly, which means that part of the quiz is unavailable. That's just something that we've got to live with, unfortunately. However, please stick around. The rest of the quiz is great, and we've got our rankings coming up later in the podcast, which are wonderful also. Thank you very much for your patience.
Round three is the weird Sam Raimi round. This is gonna work a bit odd. It's gonna be a bit tangled, like the plot of Spider-Man 3. what we're gonna do here is, you are gonna have to give me the answer to the last question. So, in this example, I'm gonna ask you a question now, and don't answer it, right? I'm gonna give you an example question. What is Spider-Man's real name? And we all know the answer to that is, of course, Peter Parker. But you wouldn't answer that in this question. You would give me that as the answer to the next question. You've got to be thinking of a few things at one time. And once again, it's fastest finger first. Who can get me the answer to the previous question? Right. So, and then at the end, we'll have a little bit of a weird lag while I then ask you for the final answer, or I just never bother. So, 5 questions in this round. We're off straight away. Question 1. In the movie Venom, Eddie Brock writes for which paper? But you've got to answer the last question I asked, and I give you the answer.
Peter Parker.
Damn it.
1 point to Martin. Okay. Question number 2. The Amazing Spider-Man was released on which anniversary of Spider-Man's creation?
The Boston Globe?
What was that, Anna, sorry?
The Boston Globe?
Wrong, Martin.
The San Francisco Times.
Both of you are wrong on that one. The answer is the Daily Globe.
It's the Globe.
Okay. In Spider-Man 3, Peter Parker dances down the street to the song Drive That Funky Soul by who?
Martin.
Yes?
60th?
Anna? That's wrong, by the way.
Oh. Damn it. I was going to say that. No idea.
I'm gonna have to, unfortunately, tell you the answer was the 50th anniversary of
Spider-Man. Oh, no, I was going to say it. Damn it.
Okay. In Spider-Man 2, who does Mary Jane become engaged to?
Sheik?
No. Anna?
I have absolutely no idea.
The answer is James Brown.
Okay,
this is a poor round for the both of you. I thought these were easy questions. Okay, Venom is the 4th Marvel movie set in which city?
John Jameson.
Ding, ding, ding. Anna gets a point back. Okay, and then finally, what was your answer to that last question?
Martin.
Yes.
San Francisco.
Damn it, I knew that one.
Right. Okay. So that round was another 2 points to Martin and another 1 point to Anna. So the current total scores is 6-2 to Martin. Okay.
But, it's 6-2.
Yeah, you got 2-0 in the first round, 2-1 in the second round, and 2-1 in the third round. So, I mean, it's still all to play for. If you get a knockout in the final round.
Oh, and she always does this.
Right, knockout in the final round. Okay, so this is the true or false round. But what I'm going to ask you, you don't need to shout your names, just shout out your answer, whether it's true or false. But instead of shouting true or false, I would like you to, if you think the answer is false, shout Mary Jane. And if the answer is true, shout Gwen Stacy, because obviously we know Gwen Stacy is the true partner for Peter Parker. So Mary Jane false, Gwen Stacy true. Okay, so we've got 5 questions in this round. Okay, after first being fit for the Spider-Man suit, Tom Holland said, "I hope I don't get a wedgie on screen."
Gwen Stacy.
I'm afraid it's false. I'm afraid it's Mary Jane. Let's point to Martin.
Oh, what? Yes.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm
that
kidding.
Is not fair.
He didn't I'm kidding. Okay, number two. Out of the five Marvel films released in 2018, Venom was the only non-sequel.
Mary Jane.
I'm afraid it's Gwen Stacy.
Oh.
Okay. Number three. Kirsten Dunst had more screen time in Spider-Man films than Andrew Garfield.
Gwen Stacy.
I'm afraid that it's only just Mary Jane. It's only just false by a mere matter of minutes.
Wow.
Okay. Number four, Marvel added the seamstress scene in Far From Home specifically to break the runtime record for a Spider-Man film.
Mary Jane?
Gwen Stacy.
It's Mary Jane. That is complete bag of tricks. In fact, Amazing Spider-Man 2 is still the longer movie at 2 hours and 33 minutes.
God, that's so long.
And finally, so that puts Anna at 1-0 for this round. Final question. Anne Hathaway was originally cast as Black Cat in Spider-Man 4 before then being cast as Catwoman in Batman 3.
Mary Jane.
I'm afraid that that is Gwen Stacy.
Oh, my God.
That's true. So badly.
So, that round, Anna, you won the final round, 1-0.
Yeah.
And that takes the total score to 6-3.
Yay!
There you go.
I finally
congratulations,
won.
Martin. You finally won a quiz.
So, Martin, out of 20 available points, you scored 6. And Anna, out of 20 available points, you scored 3.
But usually you do a round where you can just, like, rack up points, like, on top of each other. And you didn't do that.
That's where I shine. That's where I shine.
So I tried to make it as fair and as pub quiz-like as possible.
It was a good quiz, Dan. I was quite impressed with that quiz. We didn't do very well, but I think our listeners are probably absolutely, like, smashing it at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, listeners, if it does turn out that we've had audio issues at the start there, then maybe we'll host the final bit of the quiz on Instagram stories or something to get those first few rounds in. But hopefully it's all there and there's been no issues. Despite all the various alerts that seem to have come in our screen midway through, but you know, I can't believe the fact that Venom was the only non-sequel in 2018 was like crazy. I mean, think about it though. You've got Spider-Man, you've got Ant-Man, you've got Infinity War, you had Dark Phoenix.
Is Infinity War a sequel?
Yes.
To
Avengers Infinity War, so it's technically Avengers 3.
Yeah.
I think I should get a point for that.
No. Avengers Infinity War is a sequel, and if you
has like 2 or 3.
What?
No, but all the Avengers, I would agree, like, all the Avengers movies sort of exist as, like, their groups. You've got, like, the Avengers, Avengers Age of Ultron. If they only called it Infinity War, but it was Avengers Infinity War, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that totally makes it a sequel.
And can I just ask, do you think Spider-Man Far From Home is a sequel?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't have a number after it, though, Martin.
Let's move on.
Okay. Right. Well, we've got two matters of business left. So it's up to you guys. Do you want to get into the all-important rankings? Or would you like to go through this season's, what we're calling this season, Swing, Marry, Fling? Like, who would you like to swing through the streets of New York with? Who would you like to marry? And then who would you like to fling off of the Brooklyn Bridge?
Nice.
Okay.
Amazing.
So what do you want? I mean, Swing, Marry, Fling, or our final Spider-Man rankings? It's up to you.
Let's do Swing Mary Fling to sort of wrap it up with our final definitive Spider-Man ranking.
Keeping those listeners waiting. All right, fine. Well, I'll tell you what, Martin, you go first. Swing Mary Fling. What's your thoughts?
Okay, so I've decided only to do Spider-Man. So only people who've played Spider-Man.
Okay.
Just because I feel like that was quite a good box to put people in.
Immediately, so I think, sorry to Tom Hardy.
Yeah, Tom Hardy doesn't count. So swing Andrew Garfield, I think.
Ooh.
Just because, yeah, he's just quite sexy, I think. yeah, it'd be quite fun to swing around with him, I think. Mary, curveball, but Peter B. Parker from Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, I was considering him. Interesting.
Because, like after he's turned his life back around,
yeah.
But, like, he's the only one that's, like, really at an age where I could consider marrying them, because, like, we did all in high school. and he's got a beard, and he's got a bit of a belly as well, which is, like, you know, I've got a bit of a belly, so we'll match, it's fine. and then Fling, Peter Parker. Creeps me out. It's too weird.
Parker.
I don't like it. It's gross.
Well, I mean, you know, it was a very short list that you gave yourself there. But I think I've got a short list as well of, you know, females in the MCU, which is, you know, females in Spider-Man movies, which is a terribly short list. but, I, you know, Swing, Marry, Fling. I think I've come up with a pretty good list here. So, Swing, I've got Betty Brant from from the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, played by Elizabeth Banks. I mean, you know,
very nice, a
great move. You know, she doesn't, you know, really have much screen time, but with what she does, I feel like, you know, we could get along for an evening in the streets of New York. You know, get a slice of Tsar or whatever. Mary, of course, it's going to be Gwen Stacy from Amazing Spider-Man. You know, I feel like not only would I prevent her from getting her neck snapped, but, you know, she wants to move to Britain, she wants to go to university, she wants to chill out in a nice, like, comfy Oxford, like, little cottage. You know, that sounds like a great life. And, you know, of course, it's Gwen Stacy played by Emma Stone. What more could you... aspire to. And then Fling, I mean, I'm going to go for it, Maria Hill, straight away. it's almost like anyone who paid attention could have seen this coming.
Oh no. That was great. Well done.
That was good.
Sorry to Kobe Smulders. You know, I think on my rewatch of the MCU, I'm becoming a little more fond of Maria Hill, but I still don't want to get shouted at from a bloody earpiece.
I thought you were going to say, for your snog of your sling, I thought you were going to say Zendaya from the Tom Holland one.
Yeah. They're just all too young, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, technically, she's definitely old enough for a swing, but yeah, I mean, she plays like the young teenager so well. I think I'm glad that Dan didn't say.
Everything from Spider-Man Homecoming and Far From Home to the point of, you know, I've even missed out Aunt May from those movies because I just thought it was a bit of an obvious move, and I thought that, you know, probably would I put her in the swing category, maybe, but she'd go in the marry category, I don't know, and then, you know, hit on Elizabeth Banks. So I thought, What a great swing, marry, fling. Hannah, over to you.
So I've gone like the full spectrum of characters as well. So I would say my swing, it's surprising. My swing would be Harry, James Franco from like the first Spider-Man when he's still very wealthy, he's got all his faculties together. It's before like his daddy issues have hit like kind of peak insanity. I think you could show me a really nice night out on the town. I think we'd have a lot of fun, and you know, it would just be cash. We could very easily go our separate ways at the end of the night. No fuss, no muss. So that would be my swing. And then my Mary is John Jameson from Spider-Man 2.
Nice.
So cute. An astronaut, you know, really sweet, you know, did that awesome leap, like, onto the boat from the bridge to, like, you know, put his arms around his, you know, his beloved to make sure she was okay. Yeah, he seemed like good marriage material for the brief time that we got to know him. And then for my fling, oh, that's tricky. There were a couple ones. For me, I think it's got to be Dane DeHaan's Harry from Amazing Spider-Man. Like, everything, like, at the start, like, he had just such a punchable, like, whiny face. And then when he got, like, creepily goblin-fied, bleh, yeah, he went right off the bridge for me.
Good choice.
Right off the bridge. Well, they'll go down in the Hall of Fame. I think I'm not 3 for 3 for Maria Hill, obviously, because she wasn't in the X-Men universe.
Can you remember
who we all flinged, or at the point was, I can't remember what our equivalent was then.
It was Cure. We cured people.
Yeah, cured people. We'll have we'll go back and listen to it. Everyone should go back and listen to that wrap up. I think it was a good one.
This one apparently not.
okay. I think this is great.
Well, it's going to be great once we get into the rankings of this Spider-Man season. And I think it's going to be quite interesting.
Right. Lay it on us, Dan.
First, let's start a new Zoom call.
Down.
Are you ready then to hear your rankings, or our rankings? You know, I've scored them as well, of the Spider-Man movies plus them.
Yay!
And I can tell you, this is interesting. This is certainly an eye-opening set of scores, because I feel like I've scored on fairly different criteria to the rest of you. I feel like, looking at these scores, you guys have said that there's a clear top and a clear bottom, and everything else is somewhere in between. I feel like I've tried to hark back to other movies that we've ranked and be consistent with that. So do you guys feel like you've been consistent with, say, the prestige of a 10 or the prestige of a 0 that you've given in previous seasons?
I definitely have not. So I think, kind of looking back, I kind of regret that I didn't. I feel like the very first season when we did our MCU rankings, I was pretty, like, really harsh with my criteria. Like, it took a lot to, like, get a 10. I don't think I gave any 10s, because I was just, like, that intense. If, like, 10s don't exist, like, you know, we can't have a perfect film, blah, blah, blah. And then sort of moving swiftly onto the XCU, it was like, man, I was way too hard on the MCU. Way too hard on the MCU. So from our X-Men season, I've done them kind of like as capsule seasons, because I just couldn't have, like, a comparison. Otherwise, like, so many of the XCU movies would have been like 2s and things like that in comparison to, like, the upper echelons of the stiff rankings I gave in the MCU. So I've done this as, like, just within the spider universes of films.
And Martin, how about you? Consistency or...
Well, I always start at the same, where I do my favourite and my least favourite and my 10 and my 0, and then I work in from there. So I think fairly consistent.
A 0? Did you give a 0?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Let's start at the bottom then. So getting a 0 from Martin, getting a 2 from Anna, and getting a 3 from me. No surprise, really, I think, to find that Spider-Man 3 begins this list at the bottom.
To say how much you You love like, this film.
Yeah, come on, Dan.
It's a three, right? You know, it's not a zero. Okay. I still will say that it's not a zero, but on reflection, it's probably a three. It received.
I would say, like that is my favorite episode of ours from the series is the Spider-Man 3 episode. It starts out crazy with the pterodactyl sound and Martin making fun of Dan, and then it just gets weirder from there with Dan's championing of the Spider-Man 3 movie. But I mean, really like that.
We were going through a lot in that time of the year. You know, it was I had less time to think and reflect about these movies.
True.
I think
we had our real equipment, like our beautiful voices could be heard so clearly. Like it was a different time.
Hopefully for season four we can get back to that. But next up on this list. So what do you think is going to be next? Go on.
I think one of the Garfield ones.
Oof. Well, you're spot on with that. We've got Amazing Spider-Man 2 coming in at 4.7. So that's a jump of 3 points from Spider-Man 3. Martin, you scored this most favorably with a 6 out of 10.
I like this film. I said this at the time. I really like the Andrew Garfield ones.
But unfortunately, that ranking hasn't paid off for you. although, even on points, I think only top through sheer Excel sorting methods is the first Spider-Man movie. Also getting a 4.7 is our first Tobey Maguire movie from 2001. Anna, you were the most favourable, giving that 6.
Yeah.
Fair to say.
Counts for a lot.
Yeah, it got a really heavy nostalgia lean from me. The nostalgia really, really dragged that one up the rankings somewhat.
And up the rankings we go in sixth spot, Venom, which of course I rank the highest, giving that one a 6. But the
six was I get it.
Yeah, the 6 was mine. You give it a 5. Next up, okay, so we're getting into the top 5 Spider-Man movies here. what do you think is going to be starting off our top 5?
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's spot on. Amazing Spider-Man is there. It's getting a 5.7, but it's tied with Spider-Man 2, which also got a 5.7. Arna, you scored that a 7 out of 10.
Yeah. Which,
like the sort of numbers that Age of Ultron and other premiere.
I'm telling you, it's an entirely different kettle of fish. This is an entirely different bucket of spiders, my friend, than the MCU. Bucket of
spiders, right? That's a dream I don't want to have. Okay. Top 3. In third is Spider-Man Far From Home. Scoring at 8 out of 10 on average. Martin, Arna, once again, you rank this the highest. You've been the most generous, I feel. You rank this highest. You gave Far From Home a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, that seems right.
Which is crazy. I gave it an 8 out of 10. and I'll tell you, everything higher on this list from me also received 8 out of 10. So the numbers are purely between the two of you. And
Did I give this one a 9? I thought I gave Homecoming a 9 and this one an 8.
You gave it an 8.5, but it was on a 10-point scale, not a 20-point scale, so I rounded up.
Right.
It made okay. But you ranked out of 10, and you still needed a point. It's just ridiculous. I almost asked you to rank it on a scale out of 5, just for clarity.
Right.
Where 1 is very dissatisfied and 5 is very satisfied. But here we are, a 10-point scale, and you still chose 8.5. so yeah, rounded up, but it made no difference to the numbers. You'll be happy to know, because coming in second is Spider-Man Homecoming with 8.3, and that I think extremely controversially, and I completely disagree, puts Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse at number 1 with a 9.3. Both of you scored it a 10 out of 10.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I just think it's absurd to put that movie at the top of this list. It's a great movie, but it shouldn't be at the top of this list.
I mean, I'm just flabbergasted that Anna gave something a 10. It's like never happened.
I know. This one deserved it. I mean, I think I love Tom Holland's Spider-Man. I think Homecoming is an amazing movie. It's a great, like, tight story, brilliant villain reveal, and just endlessly endearing. But I don't think I've ever been... Yeah, that's a bit strong. It's Into the Spider-Verse, like, surprised me and astonished me and moved me in a way that I was absolutely not expecting. I was excited to see that movie. I thought it was going to be beautiful. I had a friend that worked on it, so I was like, yes, I'm looking forward to seeing it, and just came out of that movie like with my mind blown. And as much as I love Holland and as much as I love Homecoming, it wasn't a similar experience. I mean, it wasn't the same experience. So, yeah.
I think you're both bonkers.
But I think, you know, I don't think any of us would disagree that Tom Holland is the, you know, Tom Holland's two films and his appearances in the MCU is the best iteration of Spider-Man that we've ever had. I don't think that's up for debate, but I think looking at the films as individuals, I think Into the Spider-Verse is by far the best Spider-Man film we've ever had.
Well, there you have it, listeners. Into the Spider-Verse. You waited since January to hear this. And we've answered it for you. If you want to go watch the best Spider-Man film of all time, according to the Marvelous Lunch Break podcast, you should just go watch Into the Spider-Verse. Incredible. I'm flabbergasted that's top of this list. If you'd have asked me that at the start of the season, I would have never expected that would have been. I'd have thought we'd have maybe given a fair nod to Into the Spider-Verse, but then not come to the conclusion that it was the greatest Spider-Man movie of all time.
If I was going to guess, I would have thought Homecoming would have been number one.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, looking on reflection, I think probably, if you asked me to pick one, I think I'd say Spider-Man Far From Home.
Really?
Yeah. I think if you ask me, and that is the one that I sort of put top on my list. I still gave it an 8 because I didn't want to score it any higher than Homecoming, both which I think are 8s as far as movie goes. You know, if you've got Endgame or Infinity War as a 10 as far as superhero movie goes, I think, you know, it's fair shakes to say that these ones are probably 8s. But if I was to do it the Martin way and put, you know, my top as a 10, my lowest as a 0 and put everything in between, I'd say probably Far From Home would be top. Probably Homecoming would be second, and probably Into the Spider-Verse would be third.
Would that stand the test of, like, you sign off the pod and you have to put a movie on? Would all of our number ones be the movie, the Spider-Man movie that you would put on? Because it would be for me. I think Spider-Verse would be the one that I would just...
Yeah, I mean, from 2 out of 3 here, if you were to leave right now and put your favorite movie on, it would be Into the Spider-Verse. It's got 9.3. It's conclusively, no question about it, the greatest Spider-Man movie of all time, which is just crazy. I just find it bonkers that when Marvel spent, you know, a decade trying to wrangle some form of rights back from Sony to create a live-action Spider-Man, here we are sitting going, oh, yeah, it's cartoon. Cartoon's the best one. What? Fucking crazy. Like, all of these years of deliberations, who's going to be the next Spider-Man? Who could play it? Who could... Blah, 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 blah. There's a cartoon. It's a voice actor. Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
The guy from New Girl is one of the greatest Spider-Man movies of all time.
Right.
Yeah, all right. but no, fair shakes to Into the Spider-Verse. It's a really good movie. And it's I think it's, once again, at a late stage in superhero movies, it's changed the formula once again. And I think given people a lot to be excited for the future of, you know, that universe, but also if they can, you know, take that formula and do it on any other heroes. But it cost them a lot of money. So, you know, hopefully they're backing up into the Spider-Verse 2 with the same sort of budget. And that they've found another story hook that can get a similar crazy graphics. But ultimately, that's the end of season 3. You know, we've been through a lot. We started off in the dark days of Tobey Maguire, and then we went to the light days of Tobey Maguire, and then back to the dark days of Tobey Maguire. we went through the dark days of Amazing Spider-Man, and then as the movie proceeded to only be set at night, we stayed in the dark days of, Spider-Man. And then things brightened up a little bit. We got a little bit of Tom Holland, a little bit of MCU, a little bit of daytime, a little bit of space, a little bit of Rome. And then we've sort of ended with Venom, ended with Into the Spider-Verse. And I think that there's right future for various different Spider franchises in the future. Certainly a great time to be a fan of the webbed swinger. Final thoughts on season 3. What do you think? Happy we did this?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think it's been a bit of a bizarre season in many ways. Just very, very intense kind of ups and downs it felt. And it did feel like it took us a while to like come into the light and like have some joy back into these spider people. But I've really enjoyed it. I think it's been really nice, really fun.
Martin, how about you?
I've had a lovely time.
Great. Well, I mean, it's up to you guys. Are we going to do a season 4? What are your ideas for it? From what I understand, maybe later in the year, there might be some things that complicate the issues a little bit, or will they give us, Anna, I'll let you say, will they give us plenty of time to watch more movies?
I think so. I mean, I think we're going to have to acknowledge the fact that we're going to have to make room for a fourth member of the podcast. We've got a new superhero coming to the Harrison household in November. Got a new, brand new baby Marvel on the scene, which is very exciting.
Maybe season 4 should just be us ranking potential baby names for your baby. Thanos, Loki, Drax.
Or me watching Marvel movies in an increasingly sleep-deprived state and seeing what sort of insanity comes out of my mouth when discussing Marvel movies. I think before that, actually. But, oh, God, yeah. I'll need to be killing that much time, I think. But before that, I mean, hopefully, like, who knows what's going to be happening in the world, but there is some hope that we might be getting Black Widow before the end of the year, maybe. What? There's some talk about it coming at the end of October. It's a bit worryingly close to the due date. I don't know if there's any precedent for awesome movies bringing a baby a bit faster into the world than it was meant to be. But I'm still down for it if you guys are, provided we can go to the cinema safely. I want the Black Widow, man. I want to see it so bad. So bad.
Me too.
We've got Black Widow. We've got the potential of New Mutants on home release. We've got, you know, these superhero movies are going nowhere. And I'm sure if they do go somewhere, we will find another excuse. I mean, we've already talked pitches for season 4. We've talked Muppets. We've talked Fast and Furious.
Oh, God.
I don't think we're ever going to get desperate enough to do a Marvel Classics run.
Probably not.
Do you know what? Dan's never seen Harry Potter, which I think is incredible.
That's true. A Harry Potter in the review, maybe given that, you know, all the studio mishaps that are happening with coronavirus, a break from Marvel and doing Harry Potter in review, I could be down for that.
Well, I've seen the first three, so let's not. I've seen 1, 2, and 3, although I can't remember much that happens in 3 other than there's a flying horse and someone has a time machine. after 3, I ain't got the foggiest of what happens. So we could defo do Harry Potter. Jeez. I mean, do you think? I mean, I guess he's a superhero of some sorts. He's a wizard. He's Doctor Strange. He's just as legit. So, listeners, why don't you send your ideas of what you want to hear us do in season 4, which I'm sure will happen at one point. And Anna, if we need to make some allowances for Babygate, then, you know, we can certainly do that.
Excellent.
And if you've got any great baby names, then maybe we'll decide it with a poll on our Instagram. Anna,
yeah, that sounds great. I bet I could get Tom to agree for our first 4 child to be named by an Instagram poll.
Just a thought. But if listeners did want to go contribute to that poll, Anna, where could they find us?
Come find us on our Instagram, A Marvelous Lunch Break.
If listeners wanted to hear more about you, where could they follow you?
Well, come find me also on Instagram, Anna Marvelous, 2 N's, 2 L's.
And Martin, are you a face for social media these days still, or have you, wound back the clock on that also?
I need all the likes I can get at Martin Loves.
At Martin Loves, fantastic. Well, it's been an incredible season. I'm really happy that we've done Spider-Man, so we don't have to do it again. I'm going to go resume my rewatch of the MCU.
Oh, for God's sake.
Just awesome.
Guardians of the Galaxy last night. I'm sure I've got something.
You've got so many more to go. I'm almost done with my Captain America only rewatch. I finished Civil War, just about to kick off with Infinity War, and then Endgame, and that's my rewatch for the year, done and dusted.
I just can't believe I've had to sit through Iron Man 3 and Thor 2, but, you know, it is what it is. I feel like I've still got so much more to say about those movies, though. I feel like I still got so much more to say.
Well, we're still here for you, Dan. Outside the podcast or not, you've been an amazing host this season. It wouldn't be the pod without you, but I think you know we're always around to chat Marvel stuff.
I'm sure you don't want to hear the intricacies of my complaints about various suits in Iron Man 3. but nevertheless, listeners, Anna and Martin, thank you very much for joining me and joining us for season 3. We'll be back hopefully later in the year to talk about Black Widow, but you never know what's going to happen between now and then. We may get home releases, we may get TV shows, we may get things that we want to pop up and chat about. So stay tuned. Remember to keep subscribing to us on your favorite podcast service. Remember to go give us a review, a little like on social media, tell all your friends about us. And if you fancy rewatching the MCU in this trying times, then head back to episode 1 and listen to the 4 days of audio quality on the pod. Get Iron Man 1 up on Disney Plus. Disney are here for sponsorships. And off you go. And we'll see you in a few months' time. But between now and then, thank you very much once again. Stay safe and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Neither of these things sound like the theme tune. You do know this.
Bam out.
Are we having a post credits? What are we going to talk about?
I don't think we've got much to talk about.
I don't think we've got much to talk about. I say super mashup of all of Martin's attempts to sing.
What was the post credits for Endgame or Infinity War?
There weren't.
Well, anyway. For which one? For Endgame, it was just the poignant sign off of all the OG Avengers with their signatures on there. Their photos and the last thing we got was the sound at the very end of the credits of that Tony Stark hammer slamming down on the very first Iron Man in a cave with a box of scraps.
God, what a great, which Marvel movies, man! What an absolute amazing gift to the world.
And the foundation of our friendship, you guys.
Yeah, it's been incredible. Right, I think that about wraps us up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Totally. All right.
Bye.
Bye.